Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, and Alec Medford. We have AFC-NFC championship games coming up this weekend. And so I kind of want to have this discussion because I read an article on Yahoo that had some intriguing names in it. I want to get involved with the people from the Twitch, from the YouTube, from the Franklin Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Who's the figure in this game? So it can be coach, owner, player. Whose legacy you think can most change with Super Bowl 59? Because there are quite a few candidates.
I think it's Josh Allen.
Okay.
I think it's him for sure.
Okay. Tell me why. I don't think you're wrong.
Because he has not done it yet.
Yep.
He's got all these other accolades put together. Potentially an MVP season. This could be the thing that launches him into the undisputed, he's a Hall of Fame kind of guy. His numbers at the end of his career are going to stack up, but this would cap it for him. Being in division championships important, but getting into a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl would stamp that for him.
Do you guys think that it would also put Josh Allen, at least to start next year, and his play would dictate it from there, in the no question he is in the tier, not along with Patrick Mahomes, but he's in the same tier as Patrick Mahomes? Because a lot of people now are like, tier one is Patrick Mahomes, and then we'll get to the rest.
Then it's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar.
But now, do you think they would be like, all right, so clearly Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are tier one?
Yeah, next year it would change that way.
Okay,
all right. Maybe even put Jaden Daniels in there.
Ooh, okay.
Because that's going to be Josh Allen's opponent.
So, oh, man, look at that spicy tease right there. All right, Alec, is there somebody for you, because I think there are several viable candidates on here, and clearly Corey's selection of Josh Allen makes a whole lot of sense.
I'm going to go with somebody on the same team as Josh Allen. I'm going to say his coach, Sean McDermott.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's really that great of a coach. And
really?
Yeah, there's been too many good things going his direction up until this season where, ironically, whenever I say that, it's like they had a loaded team. They had a really high salary just total for the past 2, 3, maybe even 4 years with Josh Allen on that team. They had a lot of stars on that team. They make the move for Von Miller, so on and so forth. And now they're in a season where I thought they were going to be a wild card and leave kind of team because they had to salary dump so many people
for sure
this past offseason, and now they're over exceeding my expectations because the coaching has been good enough and the quarterback has been good enough, and they make one key move ahead of the deadline in Amari Cooper to help out that situation. So I think if he wins the Super Bowl, even if he really just makes the Super Bowl, if Sean McDermott does, he changes my mind entirely about the coach that he is. If he fails in the championship game, though, I'm sticking to my guns there and saying that I don't think he's the greatest head coach I've ever seen.
You know what's really funny about that? And I think the way you put it is really interesting. Sean McDermott has all of the second tier information to confirm him as a top-notch coach. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But he doesn't have the thing. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson. Like, if Lamar Jackson would have won the Super Bowl, then clearly he has all of the other things you need to be great. And Sean McDermott is like one of, I don't know, 5 coaches in NFL history to have X number of straight 11-win seasons. And every person in that category is elite except for him. And so if he got to the Super Bowl, if he won the Super Bowl, then I feel like you're like, all right, there's the main data point I needed to back up the rest of this. I'm going to throw out 2 others, and I want to get your thoughts. Because Josh Allen is really hard to argue against for number one. And from the 682, it's absolutely Josh Allen. If he loses to Mahomes again, he's the new Philip Rivers. It's these two people. Patrick Mahomes, and I know I'll have to explain that one, and Jaden Daniels.
You don't have to explain Mahomes, really.
Okay.
I mean, like, the three-peat, that's in lore that nobody can get to.
And so it's not as dire as Josh Allen, depending on where you're coming from, right? Because if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're like, the hell it's not. I need a bullet point that's going to say I'm the best of all time. Because he's that good, and he's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, three-peat gets you your own wing.
Exactly.
At the Hall of Fame.
Josh Allen is like, I'm trying to show everybody I'm not, and I hate to say this because I love the guy, I'm not Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can lead my team to the championship. I can slay the dragon, and I can be on that top tier. But for Jaden Daniels, he's another one. Because in the Yahoo article, they put Jaden Daniels number one. And
wow.
Josh Allen number two.
Well, I mean, think about it for a second.
He gets to
and wins a Super Bowl as a rookie.
Never been done.
First one to ever do it after the season that he put together, which, Kevin, I was listening this morning. I think Rookie of the Year might be the hottest race of this season. Not MVP. I think
offensive
rookie of the year,
or defense?
Offensive.
Okay.
But I think offensive rookie of the year, you put out some very talented players.
That's true.
Neighbors included. Like, there's some Brock Bowers. There's some very big names.
Brock Bowers might finish third.
But,
and he's had one of the most amazing seasons you've ever seen.
But for Jaden Daniels, if he was able to do that, did something nobody's ever done, and like already puts himself in that category. I had an amazing year. Now, obviously, to get in the Hall of Fame, there needs to be more of it.
Sure.
But it starts your career off a certain way. And, like, just imagine what that does for that whole organization. That whole place is going to be, it's already rejuvenated.
You know, it's funny that you said that whole organization, and I agree with you. How much does this light up the garbage teams of the NFL? Because you think about it, they were 4-13 last year. It's not like they were just waiting to break through, and they had like some busted up quarterback who that's the only thing that was, they went 9-8 and that was the only thing keeping them. They were terrible last year. They were 4-13. And now Jaden Daniels would go to the front of the line of greatest rookie quarterback season we've ever seen. I guess probably greatest rookie.
So much work roster wise.
And that is true.
Like front office, roster, coaching staff. They built this thing purposefully, Kevin.
And
like that's what happened, was they built it purposefully knowing that they were going to get a number one quarterback.
Yes.
Knowing that that was going to be the case, they were like, okay, what else can we do? We're going to get the quarterback. We got to build everything else around him. So what else do we need? We need coaches. We need this. And they went and got everything they needed.
And it can be done. So like, if you're every team that needs hope, and let's say maybe you are going to draft Cam Ward or Shador, or hell, maybe even think it's Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably throw the ball. And you're like, it can be done.
But a lot of people, what they do is they get the quarterback and go,
we're done.
We did it.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey,
you're right,
we're still crap.
We
need to be better at all these things.
Now, so Jaden Daniels is at the top of this list. I would probably go Josh Allen one, but I understand Jaden Daniels would, I mean, he's already gotten them to the first conference championship game in 33 years. He's already having one of the greatest rookie quarterback seasons we've ever seen. But this would stamp it as the greatest rookie quarterback season we've ever seen.
Yeah, nobody can touch it.
Absolutely. And then number three, and somebody brought this up from the 682. He gave up the rushing record for this. Saquon Barkley. So I wanted to throw out Saquon Barkley for a totally different reason than the other two. So Josh Allen needs it to show, like, I'm the dude. Like, I have everything, and maybe he'll win MVP as well to go along with this, but he's like, I'm the guy, or I'm one of the guys, along with Patrick Mahomes. Jaden Daniels needs, if he got it.
Would benefit
from it. Yeah, exactly. Saquon Barkley, then does Saquon Barkley not go on the list along with Drew Brees, Reggie White, probably Peyton Manning, as the greatest free agent acquisitions in the history of football?
I mean, I think a lot of people would look at McCaffrey as one of those amazing additions,
yeah.
And that's kind of the same thing, a team that was already well built, and then they add an all-pro running back to the mix.
Is that a trade?
Free agency, I think.
Okay.
McCaffrey?
Yeah.
McCaffrey was a trade.
Okay.
But yeah, like that's, I mean, for him specifically, it puts him in, he already can't overcome a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be greater for a quarterback to do it. People will probably classify Jalen Hurts higher than Barkley. But on the scale of respected all pros, everybody knows what Barkley is. And so it just adds to his lore that much more.
It's and I think it makes it really interesting because we've talked a lot about the upped valuation of the running back. And no longer could you make a concrete, you can't prove me wrong argument that, well, who's going to get put over the top by a running back?
Yeah, you can't go just go sign a running back for free agency and then go to the Super Bowl unless your team is stacked. But they just did.
Maybe you could if that's the last piece. And then you know,
and maybe the idea of drafting a running back that high, like if it's that guy, it might be worth it. Even though the Giants weren't able to do it, look what happens whenever you have a good team and a good running back.
And Broadus has talked about like how much he loves Reggie White. And I get it. I think a lot of people would say Reggie White is the greatest free agent acquisition in the history of football. And I'm not here to argue against that. I'm just saying Saquon Barkley could be in that group with him, Peyton, and Drew Brees is saying, like, this is somebody you went out and signed, and it changed everything
for your franchise, for sure.
So the list from there, and we can go over any of these people that you want, but Yahoo has Jaden Daniels, number one, Josh Allen, two. I think we've talked about it. I would flip those. Saquon Barkley, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes are lumped together.
And that makes complete sense.
It does. It really does. Andy Reid's another person who, once he won the Super Bowl, it made everything else he had done fall into place. Because he was like, I was in five other conference championship games in a Super Bowl. And you're like, yeah, but you always lost. But once he won, you're like, okay, now you have all of the evidence I need to build a case for like one of the best of all time. Dan Quinn
is
number five
on
the list.
Yeah, because he lost the Super Bowl.
He did.
And what was every time Steven talked about him, he would always mention, don't forget, he should have won that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so that would definitely, it would, because having won as a defensive coordinator with the Seahawks, been with the Falcons, you can always then say it was Shanahan's fault. You can be like, it was his fault. He called bad plays. I okayed it, but it was still on him. Look, I'm a really good coach. I won with freaking Washington.
Yeah. Like
that would definitely put him in a new stratosphere.
Was he there for the second? I know he won a ring with the Seahawks. Was he there for the second season where they made the worst play call in the history of football?
Oh, when Pete Carroll said,
yeah,
let's throw it instead of running it in?
I don't remember if he was there for that one. I know he has a ring for the Seahawks.
2015 was when he took over. So that would be, I don't know what year that was, but 2014 was his last year with them.
And so he might have.
Yes, they lost.
Okay. So he was there for the one they won, and so Dan Quinn is sitting here saying, I have the worst meltdown in the history of second half football on my resume. I also have, and I know it's not his play call, but I'm part of the team that made the dumbest play call in the history of football to help both of those things help artificially inflate the greatness of Tom Brady, but that's neither here nor there. And so if he could win a Super Bowl, that would be high on the list. Steve Spagnuolo, from the Chiefs defensive coordinator, and Andy Reid, even in the last couple days, has stepped out and said he deserves another chance. Let him be a head coach. He deserves another chance. And this one I know is probably the one people want to talk about. Number seven on the list, Commanders owner Josh Harris.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you talk about what I would assume would be a beloved figure forever in that greater DC area. It's got to be Harris, right? Like, you got rid of the scumbag owner who did a lot of questionable ethical things.
Yes.
And we all didn't like, and you got him to go away. And within 18 months, you won a Super Bowl. I'm not saying that the Cowboys fans would feel the same.
But you're not
sure.
Saying it.
That's true. I'm sure there are other fan bases out in the world that would be like, you know what? I can relate to that. I also would like to get rid of my ethically questionable owner so perhaps we could win a Super Bowl in the next 18 months. And you brought up the other guy, Jalen Hurts. Does it depend how the Eagles win the Super Bowl to change people's perceptions of Jalen Hurts? Because there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, Jalen Hurts is fine, but he has the best roster in football. Do they have to win the next two games like 38-21, 35 to 31? Like, do they have to be games where like Jalen Hurts runs wild and passes, or can they just win a Super Bowl and people are like, all right, I guess Jalen Hurts is that dude. I don't care if it was 12-10.
I think they can do that. I think they can. I think there's still room for you to be able to make that kind of legacy just by being a Troy Aikman champion. It depends on really what you want. You know, do you want the I did all the stuff, or do you want the hey, I was the leader of a team that did something great?
Yeah, yeah. And then, by the way, if you're curious, the last two people on the list are DeMar Hamlin and Bobby Wagner. Now, for very different reasons, DeMar Hamlin, in the span of what would then be 25 months, would have just one of the most incredible turnaround stories for a human of, hey, I technically died on the football field, and then 25 months later, I was there when we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Wagner is more of a legacy thing because, again, we go back to the Dan Quinn defense that we were talking about with the Legion of Boom. He was badass with them, but he's probably like, I should have another ring.
Yeah, he could have been badass with another team too, but they just didn't want to sign him.
Cowboys. Yeah.
Cowboys, that is.
Cowboys. Yo, I know.
The Cowboys.
Everybody listening right now identified who you were talking about, and they just sighed.
The Cowboys have passed up on some players because money. The check. Because the check.
Because they think nobody understands the salary cap like they do. And I feverishly disagree. We're the KNC masterpiece right here. Look, I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to do that. We're supposed to tease. We're supposed to go to the next segment. One of the worst things that's happened in the last 30 years for the Jones family is not the lack of winning. It's the explosion of information available. Because
yes.
Now everybody knows how full of crap they are on certain things.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will say that. I have said that to them before. We got Steven to agree that they just value running backs differently when we broke down the nuts and bolts of not signing Derrick Henry. And that's been the biggest problem is you can say, well, the salary cap is this, the salary cap's that. I didn't know that information when we started the salary cap in the mid-90s, also because I was about to be a teenager. But all that information being available has been one of the worst things that can happen to the Jones family because now you can't confidence man your way through it.
Nope.
Because I can be like, I can fact check that. That's inaccurate.
And people are calling them out.
Yes.
And then
yes, they are.
They get mad and yell back.
Sorry about that, Alec. I cut into your time. Coming up next, it's AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus a heavy metal degree, next on The Fan.
2 on the first pitch of the game. Swings and hits a long drive out to left field. This one way back, and this one is history. An opposite field home run for Shin-Soo Choo on the very first pitch of the ball game from Tommy Malone.
You're damn right.
Shin-Soo Choo is awesome. He's still not a Hall of Famer. Look, I've told this story before. We're going to be at spring training in about a month, Alec, but it's one of my favorite moments. It was when Mike Trout signed his like $400+ million contract. Every single Rangers player in that clubhouse was buzzing about the deal, and they didn't know the details. So what did they do?
They came to us.
And we're like, hey, what are the details? And then somebody would hear one of our conversations. They'd be like, hold up. I'm sorry. So what's the deal? And so then I started talking with Shin-Soo Choo about it. And he goes, man, you know what's going to kill him on that is the taxes. And so like we started getting into this intense like state tax conversation that it was my favorite. And all these people descended on us thinking I was doing a one-on-one versus with Shin-Soo Choo. And he's a very good player. And then within, I'm telling you, like 20 seconds, they're like, this is stupid. And they like all dispersed because they were like, is this what they're talking about?
They just stood there talking taxes for like an hour.
It was amazing. It was really fascinating.
I was so caught off guard by how like into it Choo was. But I knew Kevin. I was like, yeah, that's Kevin's world right there.
But you'll agree. He was like into that conversation.
Oh, yeah, he was because he talked it all out. He had plans.
All right. Right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. We got the question of the day. I'm hoping and I'm feeling like this is going to be one of my most chaotic in a very long time. We're going to get to that here in just a second and some more stuff, including how you can get a degree in heavy metal. I'm not talking about actual metal. I'm talking about the music.
Let's rock.
We'll get to that here in just a second. Before anything, though, I do want to read a tweet that was put out by Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram just a few minutes ago. If you remember, he's been pretty adamant saying that the Brian Schottenheimer experiment would not be as a head coach this year. But He just tweeted and said those in the building at one point said this week they would have been considering the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer a major surprise are now just that, surprised. The likelihood of this hiring is high, and those people understand that after yesterday, the growing feeling is that this will go down today.
Wow.
I mean, that's part of like getting multiple sources on a story is important. And
so he was wrong.
Those sources. Well, the sources were.
And he did give credit to Sean Sharif, by the way,
which I appreciate
for being on top of that.
Yeah, you find out sometimes somebody you have source doesn't know.
Yeah,
you're like, oh crap. And
it's
so now here you are,
everybody,
with the way that they're approaching this. It is going to happen, it sounds like.
Yeah, I tweeted that yesterday. I just said, buckle up. This is going to get done. And my mentions have been in shambles since then. And trust me, I'm trying to make sense of it too, everybody. I'm trying to make sense of this too.
Look, my PSA for the day, check in on Sean. Make sure Sean Sharif's doing okay. He's going to take this the worst of us.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a text whenever you guys are giving your answers to the question of the day, just to make sure. Wellness check, you know, because I care about our coworkers.
That's smart.
The question of the day, 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. So I was listening to O'Shea Jackson Jr. He has his own wrestling podcast now under Rich Eisen's podcast network. And it is fantastic. And they had Obafemi, my current favorite
superstar in
NXT right now, the NXT champion. They had him on. And they have a new question that they ask every single wrestler they have on. They say, you're in a bar with 25 people who do not want you there. They want you to get hurt. Oh. You have four other wrestlers with you to get you out of that bar in one piece. Who are you picking and why? So I'm going to change that up just a little bit.
Can I just say one of those wrestlers needs to be Haku?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care if he's like 65 or 70.
Yeah.
People tell these story about when he ripped this dude's eyeball out at a bar because he's trying. Everybody you ever talk to in wrestling is like, oh my God, I would never fight him.
Yeah.
Like, never.
He ripped the guy's eyeball
out? Yeah, that guy started it.
What did he do with the eyeball?
That's a good question.
I hope he put it back. That would be the polite thing to do.
The terrible thing would step on it.
Oh my goodness.
Right in front of him, he's got to watch it with his other eye.
But could you see that happening? Probably not. It's probably not still connected.
You just look up. It can be. You just see the foot coming down and stomp.
Yeah.
Back to you.
I got a lot to think about now. So the question is, you are stuck in a bar with three other 105.3 The Fan personalities. And you need them to get you out of that bar in one piece because 15 people in that bar want you hurt.
Okay.
Who are those three other fan personalities you are choosing? And Tolos, please get involved. 877-881-1053. I limit it to three since there's a lot less of us than there is a pro wrestling locker room. So you got 15 people that really want to hurt you at that bar. And you need to get out of there in one piece. Who are you picking?
See, this is the thing. I feel like a lot of people are going to be going for violence here. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to pick CA because A, he knows everybody and he probably knows most of the people in that place.
Fair.
And then they're going to be like, oh, here with CA, you're fine. Like, that's probably what's going to happen.
Okay.
I'm not going with Sean because I've seen a situation at a bar once with him I had to escort him out.
There was a time that everybody in the bars wanted to whoop Sharif's ass.
Will Chambers, I feel like, just going to make it louder and more of a problem, so I'm not going there.
Yeah.
So I think Chifalo might be a good option, too, because lighthearted, fun. I know Wolchuk's going to amp it up. Like, I've been in a situation like this before, and he just made it worse, and I was like, what are you doing right now? So Chifalo, I feel like, is going to be like, hey, if we need to fight, I'm cool, but let's just talk it out, man. So I got two people I think that are going to help me talk it out, and then I'm taking Alec because I believe he's Mighty Mouse.
I like that. Thank you for putting some respect on my name because the night show was doing like a producer fitness rankings the other day, and they put me at like four, and I took that personally.
See,
like Michael Jordan.
You should be number one.
And see, you're not helping
behind me. Lucius, I'd say I'd be number two.
You're not helping me get out of there peacefully, though. I'm believing if all violence happens, that now it's on Alec to save us.
Yeah, I go to war for the people I care about, so absolutely. If it intensifies that quick, then it's not going to be pretty.
Okay, I have a question. I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to this. And if it was like an hour later, I could just ask him directly. Is Lucius, does he want to fight for it? Like, would he prefer to defuse the situation, or he's like, let's do it?
I think he would prefer to defuse and enjoy life together.
All right. So I'm going to cross him off the list, and I'm going to go with people who can defuse the situation, at least one of them. But instead, everyone's going to fight with me because I'm going the opposite path of Corey. We're fighting our way out, and this is what we're doing. So, man, I feel like we've got some pacifists at the station.
Are you getting to this bar? Are you getting to the car in the parking lot and driving off? Or are you just standing in the bar over everybody?
Or if I have to finish the fight definitively.
Finish the fight.
Then that's what I'll do out in the parking lot. I'm picking Alec, Wolchuk, and Chris Arnold. All right? Because Wolchuk, you're right.
He will start a fight.
He's ready to throw hands.
All the time.
Maybe not. I need him dialed back into soberness a little bit more to be as effective.
Not at that bar.
As I want. Chris Arnold is super nice, but he's like, got you down. And you punch him in the midsection. You're like, oh my God, did I just punch a wall?
Yeah.
And then it's on.
He's
and
made
you're
of
trouble.
Cinder blocks.
Same thing with Alec. He is strong, dude. Mm-hmm. You might be like, oh, I'll take that guy. Then he's going to beat your ass.
Uh-huh.
And so these are the people that I'm going to fight with.
I'm glad that you found what I was really trying to do here. I was just trying to stroke the ego. So thank you very much, Kevin.
We both took Chris and Alec. It was just we took a separate nosebleeder.
That's right.
Bagger. Nosebleed bagger.
Look, and it's tough because over the years... There was a time that I wonder...
You want Crazy Mike on your side.
That maybe. But I was going to say, I wonder if maybe a few years earlier, Broadus was more interested in, oh yeah, I'll help you punch your way out of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Colby would do it because one time we asked Colby when we were at spring training if we needed him for an alibi for something, if he would do it, and he goes, no problem.
Before we even finished... Like we said, hey, if we need you for an alibi, he's like, I got you. And he was like, don't worry about it. Don't even tell me because that is going to get me in more trouble. Just tell me what I need to know.
See, obviously, I would have picked him too.
That was just like in college for me, the equivalent of that because we weren't doing anything too crazy. It was just like you'd have that one friend that would be like, if my girl calls, you just say that I'm there with you.
Yeah.
You know, that was the equivalent for me because my friends were a lot of pacifists too. They were staying out of legal troubles and stuff, but you know, might not be making great decisions in other facets of life. So you would get that text just like the, hey, can I trust you? Like if this were to happen, would you say that? Yeah. He was just at the movies with me. Yeah. We were just at the bar together, you know, just chilling, having a beer.
Yeah, my wife has too many follow-up questions that she needs details about. I was like, no.
Colby just texted and said, let's fight people. So he said, I'm down. Let's fight people.
Look, and that's another thing.
Colby Sapp.
When the boxer pulled his punch against Colby because he didn't want to break his hand because, you know, he was fighting the next night.
Yeah.
And then CA tried to convince him that he would pull his punch. And Colby's like, the hell you will punch me in the face. Like, that's somebody that you want on your side. Because he would just walk up and be like, I'll tell you this, you get the first shot, you better make it count. That's somebody I want on my side.
Come for the king, you best not miss.
Exactly.
I saw from the 214, someone said, Bobby, when he's hammered, you can send him into the fray and then hit the back door after.
See, that's true.
He's like a landmine, yeah.
He will go absorb all the attention from everybody in that room and like a landmine,
man,
and then you're gone.
I'm surprised y'all didn't go the route then of making Bobby and Zach the sacrificial lambs who are so loud that all 15 of those people will converge on them, and you and the other person you picked, you just walk on out.
And they're not going to be mad whenever they get back to you. Like,
they're not going to remember.
And they're not going to remember for one, and they're going to be like, I got a crazy story to tell. Somehow this happened, and I don't. It was just me and Wolchuk. They're going to forget you were there.
Oh, for sure.
The whole
I'd be
time.
Like, wait, what bar was this at again? Really?
God.
Let's see, from the 682, their strategy, I'm taking the loudest guys at the station. I'm taking Bobby, the famous Mike Bassett, and Zach Wolchuk, which, yeah, they could probably at least direct the attention away from you. Is it going to end well? Who knows? But they will at least take the eyes off of you, so I don't mind that either.
If I'm going to fight, though, I do want Kevin in the mix. If I have to fight this, I'll take Kevin in a fight.
Alec, I still have a lot of rage inside of me.
Yeah, don't we all? It's okay. From the 469, this is a sleeper one. They said RJ Choppy, Corey Majors, and from the Fan After Dark, Fred Davis. Because he is built like a brick wall.
He is.
Yeah, he is strong.
And
man.
I would buy into Fred. I'm not sure about Choppy because I think he would be like, hey, You fight, I fight. We could all go get some crumbles and some candles. You know, I'm like, that's what I'm afraid is going
to
happen.
I'd love that. I do need more candles. I need to hit them up for some recommendations. And real quick, if you decide you want to go to college in the Netherlands, you can go to Summa College in Eindhoven. There is a new program called the Metal Factory, and it's offering students a music degree with a focus specifically on heavy metal.
Awesome.
The program launched with an open house, or it launches rather, on January 26th. So signups are still available. If you want to go to the Netherlands and learn how to rock, you can get a degree in heavy metal.
I like it. I also appreciate that somebody texted in and says, yeah, I want the Blockbuster security guard for sure.
Somebody said, let me ask you guys this. Is there anyone that takes their clothes off when they fight? Because guess what? No one.
Yeah.
And I repeat, no one.
It's a naked man. If I ever did have to fight Colby, that's what I would do. Take all my clothes
and
off.
And he would too, because he knows. He's the one that told me about that.
I'll do it. And then if you reciprocate that energy and you just square up with me with nothing on, then we really got to fight at that point, I guess.
There's something happening there.
Yeah, there's something
there.
Lose. Yeah, I think we all lose in that scenario.
Carter just texted, what about Carter Freeman?
I'd take him, honestly. I feel like just because we have natural chemistry with the red hair.
The way he's looking at me, I'm kind of terrified. So I'm probably would need
to. I really like
also
the concept of natural chemistry when it comes to your fighting team. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here.
Doing the sidekicks.
Yeah. Yes. On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, the most concerning flaw for each of the remaining four NFL playoff teams. Next on The Fan.
Third and 15, Hurts from the end zone, intercepted, taken away by Xavier McKinney, the big offseason acquisition inside the 20.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk about the flaws of these four remaining playoff teams and also give you Cowboys coaching update as we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Indeed.
Here we go.
We start with this from Jane Slater. We talked about on Tuesday, the Cowboys and Brian Schottenheimer reportedly met for about 4 hours. And then what was supposedly a second interview yesterday, a lot of people were reclassified as like, nah, I'd say it's more a continuation of the other interview. So Jane Slater at Slater NFL, if you want to follow her on Twitter, said the Cowboys met with Brian Schottenheimer for more than 5 hours yesterday. When asked if this was imminent or whether news was expected today, I was told, quote, nothing as of yet, per a source informed. The wait continues. But it feels like everyone believes that this is going to happen, and I feel like that report from Slater pretty much feeds into that.
Yep.
This is going to happen.
It absolutely does. This has been less of interviews, more of meetings for preparation. So
I could see
look,
that.
We need to roll plan out. We need to have a vision before we start talking to media. We can't just say we interviewed you and we talked to you and we have no plan from here. So how are you going to answer these questions? When you're asked about this, when you're asked about the team, what are you going to do? How are you going to, that's what they're preparing him for right now.
It feels like, I think it's going to happen tomorrow just because that's the optimum media visibility to take away from the actual teams playing that matter.
You don't want it to be on Friday. That's news dump day for one. All right. You do want next week's probably a good time though, because
then you
have a whole week worth of topics about you, right? If you do it tomorrow, you get tomorrow and Friday and leading into some of these games.
See, I think you're going to get the other side too, because if the way
Monday
people talk, oh, and probably beyond, just because the way people talk about the Cowboys, that's just my guess for their media philosophy, but
yeah,
we shall see. All right, most concerning flaw.
Who runs that plan, by the way? I'd like to know, is it Jerry that sits there with his desktop calendar, his planner, and he's like, all right, 3 days from now, or is there somebody else that like he has a publicist communication staff that he really relies on for that?
I think it's different because I think your publicist or PR person would tell you something directly different than what he wants. Well, if we want to strike and get the most visibility, and you're like, I always get the most visibility. Now I want to make sure I get the most visibility. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if this, that feels like an abstract concept, but you get what I'm saying. All right. Flaws for the remaining playoff teams. And now I know some people will say the health of Jalen Hurts. He was listed on the injury report yesterday, although he said he's trending in the right direction. He feels like he'll be ready to go for Sunday. But a lot of people are thinking that it's the turnover possibility for Jalen Hurts, and that's the biggest hurdle remaining. Like, we talked about...
afraid of him throwing the ball or fumbling?
See, I think it's both.
Okay.
Because if Patrick Mahomes is the, I'm not afraid you're going to make a mistake at the wrong time, even with Jaden Daniels in the mix, I think Jalen Hurts might be the highest on the list of, I'm afraid you're going to make the wrong mistake at the wrong time. Which is interesting because he's been significantly better with the ball the second half of the season, or maybe even a little bit longer, than he was at the beginning of the season or last year.
10 fumbles this year. Baker Mayfield was number one with 14.
Yikes.
Cousins had 13. Burrow had 11. A lot of Burrow's fumbles were like end of game, trying to make a play kind of
okay.
thing. Caleb Williams had 10. Levis had 10. Jalen Hurts had 10. So Lamar Jackson had 11. So those, the guys that handle the ball, they're going to fumble. His interceptions, he doesn't, I don't think he trusts himself right now, Kevin.
I can see that.
He doesn't look like he trusts himself most times.
And I mean, you're in the NFC Championship game. I think you should, I think Jalen Hurts should believe in Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I still, at some point, Kevin, I think there's going to be a tell-all about what happened behind the scenes with A.J. Brown and him, because I think there's still something weird.
What do you think is the knock on the Bills? I will give you a hint. Something about this kind of came up earlier in the show.
When Josh Allen has to be Superman.
When Sean McDermott has to be in a big game.
Okay.
Now, it's the same thing we talked about earlier about how Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are obviously connected for a variety of reasons. Sean McDermott and Josh Allen are connected, but Sean McDermott is going to take the blame for the 13 seconds left in the divisional round game 3 years ago, as opposed to Josh Allen, who's just sitting on the sideline. He's like, well, what the hell did you want me to do about that? I scored with 13 seconds left. We should have won the damn game.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean McDermott's history in big game.
From the 405, biggest flaw for the Bills is they have to play against the refs also.
So
it's already happening, dude.
All right. I'm just going to throw this out there. And of course, this is what he thinks. Patrick Mahomes says he disagrees that the Chiefs are getting favorable calls. Now, he did admit that he probably oversold one particular play on the sidelines. But he said, you get new referees every year. You get new circumstances. And you can never really tell because every play is different. And that's what makes the NFL so special.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've just continued to play the game, try to win. Whatever kind of happens, happens. Of course, ESPN posted a picture of Patrick Mahomes complaining in between two officials with this story. Just a hammer home. I don't know about that. But I think that's why people think the refs are for the Chiefs, because of what Mahomes said. It's different referees, different competition, different circumstances, but everybody's still, not everybody, a lot of people still feel like the benefit of the doubt goes to the Chiefs.
Yeah, it does feel that way a lot of times.
So, I mean, look.
Not to me, because I'm not watching them that close, but there are a lot of people that are ticked off about the Chiefs. But that's the thing, Kevin. They're at a point now where the Patriots were. They're at a point now where the Cowboys were, where you've won enough and we're tired of it. And no matter how much fun it seems you are, now I'm just tired of looking at your stupid face.
And sometimes I always think that that part is built into the reffing, in terms of, it's not necessarily that they get favorable calls, but just we look at the calls that are borderline more about that team. Because, like, whenever I think my team got screwed on a play or a call or whatever, I never go back and factor in the other play where we definitely should have gotten flagged.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that.
No.
I'm just like, hey, we got screwed in that holding call. And they're like, hey, what about the holding call that didn't get called? That
doesn't
was definitely
matter.
A hold.
Call the one that I need you to call now.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. For the Commanders, a lack of experience is going to be the most logical explanation there. And it's not just the quarterback. I know the Commanders do have six starters.
Terry McLaurin's never been here.
Yes, who have played in a championship game before. But you have more for the Eagles, definitely more for the Chiefs. You're looking at the Bills and you're like, we're a few years removed from this. They're a generation plus removed from this. So experience is going to be it for Washington. And then this is going to be something to watch. And maybe we expand on it tomorrow. The Chiefs' defense is really good, but not as dominant as it looks. So, like, you look inside some of those numbers. You go to that Houston game. They gave up 10 of 17 conversions on third down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the point is going to be, hey, how many points did they give up? 14. And like, rock on. That's all that really matters. But there is also a school of thought that if you continue to play with that fire, you're eventually going to get burned. And Josh Allen is probably the best person outside of Joe Burrow to burn you.
Yes, that's for sure. That's for sure.
All right, let's go from that to Trent Baalke got fired. And I'm not laughing specifically at him.
I've never seen Kevin celebrate so hard.
I'm actually just laughing at how dumb the Jags look in all of this. So they put out a statement, I don't know, it was like 3 weeks ago, whatever. They're going to hire a new coach. We're moving on. Our coach doesn't work anymore. We got Trent Baalke here, and he is going to be part of the team that is going to help us figure out who the next coach is.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they realize everybody doesn't like Trent Baalke.
Yes.
Nobody wants to work for him.
Yes. The new Bears coach, he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm a pass on that. Liam Cohen, the presumptive favorite for much of the way, he's like, hey, I'm going to pull myself out of this to continue to be the offense coordinator for the Bucs. Now, I know there are some people who think he has a deal in place to also become the next head coach. I hear you on that. But like, you could have been the head coach now. And he's like, you know what? I'm good.
I want a head coach job.
Yes.
Just not that head
exactly.
coach job.
On your face. And partially because we think that our GM that we have to work with, he sucks. And so he got fired yesterday. And I think it's because everyone was like, I don't want to work with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's a huge part of it. It's a bad organization from the top to bottom, and they got to fix those things first.
That's got to be tough. When you get fired and you know the very specific reason, the owner's like, hey, none of these coaches wanted to come here because they don't like you. So...
So you just take all of my money and go hang out at the beach, or
I mean, I'm sure he'll still get paid. So
time to find a new career.
Good for him. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.